But I do despise you.
You despise the way I treated you. There's a difference. And that's why I want a do-over. I want to show you that I'm not the person you believe I am.
He's had about an hour to show me who he is. He's probably much worse than I think. You didn't answer my question. How can you say that you want me to be your wife?
I have to marry one of you, and I think I may like you.
He reaches out and drags his knuckles down my face.
You're beautiful, and I'm incredibly attracted to you. I don't think that's a bad start for an arranged marriage.
This guy is unbelievable. You terrorized me, made me fear for my safety.
You bragged about being with countless men. It angered me to hear my wife-to-be boast about such things, and I lashed out.
I'm not your wife-to-be.
I want you to be.
If that angers him so badly, then why choose me? You want me as your wife, even though I've been fucked by half the brothers of the Fellowship? He chuckles.
You haven't been fucked by anyone. Isabel confirmed it.
I don't believe him. Isabel wouldn't confide in him. She wouldn't betray me. Liar.
I'm not lying.
Prove it.
Isabel and my father are old acquaintances, and she snuck away from Thane and the council to speak to us. She told me that you were nothing like your parents. Instead, you are kind, loyal, dutiful, pure, beautiful inside and out. Those are the words she used to describe you. She said you would make a wonderful wife unless I mishandled you while you were in my care. Her warning was clear. You'd hate me if I mistreated you, and we'd both be miserable if we married under those conditions.
That proves nothing.
Your father ensured that you were never to be touched by a brother. You were being saved for someone, but it didn't work out. Now that your father is dead, Thane and Sin have taken responsibility for you. To dishonor you would be an offense against them, and no brother would dare offend his leaders.
I don't have an argument. He's right, and we both know it.
You lied about being with those men to protect yourself, because you understand the pricelessness of remaining a virgin in a world like ours. It makes and breaks women all the time.
And it's so unfair. The brothers can fuck around whenever they feel like it, and yet we must remain pure for them. It's another one of the things I hate about this life.
Your aunt believes in what we're proposing because the treaties will bring peace, and she supports your marriage to me.
Nothing you said proves anything.
Perhaps not, but I will marry one of you. Are you really going to make me take Ellison from your brother? Or will you stand by and watch Ivana lose Craig, the one and only man she has ever loved, while no brother awaits your return?
That's a cruel thing to say.
And correct. Cruelty isn't my intention. I say it to remind you that there isn't a Fellowship man who wants you. But that doesn't mean that no man wants you.
He moves off the couch to the floor onto one knee. He takes a ring from the interior pocket of his jacket.
Be my wife.
I've dreamt of a man who would kneel before me with a diamond ring and pretty words. A man who adored me. Not one who narrowed me down from a choice of three. I don't want to be a man's wife because he's settled. But it's not like there's a better offer on the table. No Fellowship man wants me, and no Fellowship man will have me after I stay here 3 days. Doesn't matter if Kieran touches me or not, because the worst will be assumed. The longer I'm here, the more brothers will presume. I know what happens to the women who return to the Fellowship after they've been taken by the Order. They never marry. They live as outcasts or end their lives. Outcast among the Fellowship, or wife of the Order's leader and mother of the future leaders of the Brotherhood. Those are my two options. The choice is a simple one, because there is no good alternative. But I can't make that kind of commitment at this point. If I tell him yes now, he'll want to claim me. There will be no going back after that. I'll consider marrying you. He grins, looking so sure that he's getting what he wants, and it pisses me off. I said I'd think about it. That's not a yes. Kieran Hendry has been a bastard to me tonight. He owes me restitution. He slides an enormous diamond ring on my finger, and it's a perfect fit. He lifts my hand and studies the ring on my finger.
It looks good on you.
I don't even know how many carats it could be, but it's a lot bigger than my mum's, and hers isn't small. This was my grandmother's wedding ring, a wee bit more than 7 carats. Exceptional color and clarity. My grandfather paid more than £50,000 for it 50 years ago. Don't lose it. The ring is gorgeous, but it doesn't make me lose my good sense. Did you not listen to what I just said? Consideration isn't an affirmative.
You're going to say yes,
and we both know it. Such a confident arse. He's used to getting everything he wants, but he isn't going to snap his fingers and make me jump. No, we don't both know it. It's going to take work on your part to convince me after the way you've treated me tonight.
I've never worked to win a woman in my life.
I don't doubt that being the truth for a second. I bet he could charm the pants off any woman, except me. There's a first time for everything.
Do you know how many women from the Order and the Syndicate would jump at the opportunity to be my wife?
I'd guess most of them. I don't know, and I don't give a damn.
They'd line up for the chance to be in my bed for just one night.
Kieran is a leader. That alone makes him a desirable mate, but he's also handsome. Black hair, nearly black eyes, tall and broad and muscular. I saw the bulging muscles in his chest and arms when he took off his shirt earlier. I'm certain that he's highly sought after by the women of the Order and the Syndicate. That would end if I were your wife. I won't allow you to infect me with your whore's sexual diseases.
I would never put the health of my children's mother at risk.
I guess that's sort of a sweet thing to say, but I don't buy it. That's a bold statement to make when you've never had to be faithful to one woman. I'm not stupid. I know leaders aren't monogamous. They fuck whoever, whenever they like. Except Sin. He's the exception to the rule. I'm certain that he'd never cheat on Blue. He loves her and the babies too much to ever so much as consider betraying them.
I'll be a good and faithful mate, because it's what you ask of me. As your husband, I would want to please you.
I'm surprised to hear him say that. Men in leadership roles are usually only concerned with their own pleasure. You want to please me?
I very much want to please you, and I plan on doing so, as soon as you'll let me.
So now you want my permission instead of my submission?
I'd take you any way you'd give yourself to me.
Ivana and Blue and Ellison talk about their sex lives all the time. I pretend I've had experiences as well. But the truth is that I've never even made out with a guy. One stolen kiss when I was 16. That's it. I'm not a dope. I know how things happen. But it isn't the same for all couples. The different stories I hear from my friends are evidence of that. Ivana loves Craig. Blue loves Sin. Ellison loves Jamie. I don't love Kieran. Shite, I don't even like him. He's a total dick. But a good-looking dick. And his body is very hot. I'm curious to know what sex with him would be like since we aren't in love. I wonder if I'd like it, or if it would fall flat because I don't feel love for him. If I said that I wanted you to please me, how would you do it? Kieran gets up and tugs on my hand.
Come with me.
I stand, and he leads me away from the sitting area toward his bed.
I'm going to show you how I would do it.
Oh, no. A man in a hypothetical situation. Not the real thing.
We're not going to have sex. But you asked a question, and I'm going to give you an answer.
He stops when we reach the bed.
Lie down on your back.
No way I'm doing this. Kieran,
shh. I'm not going to do anything you don't want me to do. I swear.
He grins.
On the life of our firstborn son.
our firstborn son. I sit on the side of the bed and slide to the middle, closing my eyes as I lie flat on my back. I press my knees together when I remember that I'm not wearing knickers and wait for whatever will come next. When I consider what I'm doing, I realize it's one of the stupider things I've done in my life. Lie on a bed, without knickers, before a man who threatened to rape me. The bed dips, and I jolt at the same time that my eyes pop open. A second later, Kieran's face is hovering above mine. Close, but our bodies not touching. The first thing I would do is kiss you. An open-mouthed kiss, because I would want to feel your tongue against mine and taste the whiskey still lingering there. He moves lower, and I feel his warm breath on my skin. When I finished, I'd kiss your neck, beginning at that sensitive spot below your ear, and I'd slowly move downward until I reach your tits. Kieran moves lower so his face lingers over my chest. I would suck this one first, and roll my tongue around your nipple while I squeezed the other with my hand and used my thumb to make your nipple hard. Strange sensations fire from my nipples down to my lower groin. I tense and relax the muscles inside my body, down there. Even the act of breathing becomes more pronounced, more intentional. His face poises over my lower abdomen. My mouth would never leave your skin as I kiss your stomach and think about putting a baby inside you. Oh, fuck. When I finished here, I would spread your legs apart. I'd go down and bury my face between your legs and lick and suck until you come all over my face and scream my name. And when you were completely and utterly spent from coming, I would push my cock inside you and fill your womb with my seed, hopefully putting our firstborn son inside you. Oh, fuck me. Do you think you would want me to do any of those things to you? I lift my head off the bed, and our eyes meet, my mouth agape, my breath panting. I squirm, and the top of my groin, covered by only a thin layer of silk, brushes against him. He moves to kneel on the bed beside me and pulls my bunched gown away from where it has gathered between my legs. Judging by the looks of the silk, someone's pussy is drenching wet. I bet all it would take is my blow and my breath on your cunt to make you orgasm. No man has ever said anything like that to me. Not a single one of the Fellowship brothers would have dared. You are crude.
And you are horny.
He isn't wrong, but he's ill-mannered for pointing it out so blatantly. I kick at him with my foot. Your mouth is vulgar. He chuckles and catches my ankle, pulling me down the bed so he's kneeling between my legs.
Don't be embarrassed. I'm happy that I was able to make you wet so easily. That's a very good indication that we're compatible, at least sexually. Most people in arranged marriages aren't.
How is it possible that I want him to do all of those things he just described, while I also want to kick him in his balls?
Say yes, and I'll make you a very happy woman.
His fingers creep up my inner thigh.
Starting right now.
I push his hand away. The promise of an orgasm won't make me say yes to your marriage proposal.
What will? Because I very much want you to say yes.
This isn't a date we're talking about, or even a hookup. This is marriage. The forever kind, where you don't get to divorce if things don't go well. I need time to think about it.
How long do you need?
I don't like being rushed, especially when it's something this important. I'll know when I know.
We don't have forever. I'll need you to be prompt with your decision.
This man is so damn pushy. He unbuttons his top button, and then the second, and third. What are you doing?
Getting ready for bed.
He continues unbuttoning. You're going to sleep here?
He chuckles. Aye, this is my bed.
I can't stay with this man. Where will I sleep?
Right there, in my bed with me.
Are you crazy? We can't do that.
My voice rises a few octaves. We can, and we will.
I haven't said yes to marrying you.
I didn't dissolve our prior agreement. Those terms still apply.
But you proposed.
And spoke sweetly to me. Either our earlier agreement or our engagement is in effect. Which is it?
I'm either your captive or your fiancé.
That's it exactly.
He wins either way. I haven't accepted your proposal, so I guess that makes me your captive.
He sheds his shirt and tosses it on the bench at the foot of the bed. I sleep in the nude.
He unbuckles his belt and I look away. His pants and some form of black underpants join his shirt on the bench.
Look at me.
I suck my bottom lip, hesitating a moment before turning so that my eyes can meet his.
Look at my cock, Weslin.
I suck my lip harder and do as he tells me. Not because I'm being a good little girl who wants to obey her captor's orders. I do it for me, because curiosity is eating me alive. I want to see what a real-life cock looks like.
You see this? How hard I am. That's what you do to me because I want you so badly.
No man has ever told me that he wants me. No man has ever shown me his erection and then said that I was the reason behind it. No man has ever made me feel this desirable. I don't hate knowing that I have the power to do that to Kieran Hendry, even if he is an asshole. He goes into the bathroom, leaving the door open. The bastard wants me to hear him jerk off. And I do. Slapping, smacking, spanking. Groans, growls, grunts. All of the sounds carry directly from the bathroom to my ears. And I want to reach between my legs so badly.
Oh, Weslin!
I swear I nearly orgasm when I hear the way my name sounds coming from his lips when he comes. He emerges from the bathroom and climbs into bed beside me.
Get under the covers.
I lift my bum and push the linens down. I'm taken by surprise when he grabs me around my waist and pulls me against him with my back against his front. Damn silk gown makes me glide across the bed like a pat of butter over a hot piece of bread.
I want to feel my wife against me tonight, and I don't want to hear any of your cheeky shite about it.
I'm not here.
Not another word, Weslin, or my cock will become your muzzle.
Asshole, I whisper.
What was that?
I lean as far as I can away from him while being held around my waist and say nothing.
That's what I thought. Now go to sleep.
Not likely.
Chapter 5. Kieran Hendry. Awake to a beautiful woman wrapped around me. Not the position we started out in last night, but I like this one too. Maybe more, since her knee is bent and her leg is wrapped around my torso with my hard cock pressing against the split of her pussy. Fuck. It's right there against her entrance. How am I supposed to resist pushing it inside her? I move my hips forward and press the head against her slit, making it slip between her lips. One thrust and I'd slide into her tight virginal hole. It would feel so fucking good. I want to. Fuck, I want to. But I can't. I can't let Weslin leave here without being claimed, but it can't happen like this. She'd hate me forever. And that's not the way I want to begin my marriage. Weslin. She doesn't stir, so I say her name a second time. Her eyes flutter open, and she rapidly blinks several times. I anticipate her jerking away from me the second her brain registers the position we're in, but she doesn't. Instead, her eyes focus on mine. Careful. I have a very limited amount of restraint right now. Her hips pull back, But then she thrusts them forward so the tip of my cock rubs between her upper lips. She does it again, and again, and again. No kidding, Whistlin. You're pushing me too far, and I'm running out of control. You have to stop rubbing your pussy on me if we're not going to fuck. She steals her hips and closes her eyes. I shouldn't have done that, but it just feels so good. I can make you feel good, so fucking good. But first, you have to tell me that you'll be my wife. She shakes her head. I'm not ready to do that. It's going to happen. I lift her hand and wrap her fingers around mine so the engagement ring is visible. You didn't take this ring off because you know you're going to marry me.
I haven't made up my mind.
I think you need a little help deciding. I push my hand between our bodies until my fingers reach her slick center. She grabs my wrist and shakes her head.
No, Kieran.
I'm only going to touch on the outside. I won't push my fingers in.
Kieran.
Let me give you what you need. I promise you'll be able to see more clearly after you come. Clearly see that you should say yes to my proposal.
We both know this isn't supposed to happen until you claim me.
You're the only thing preventing that. I'll claim you right now if you let me. I press a soft kiss to her lips and toy with her bottom lip by sucking it into my mouth and releasing it. She tilts her hips forward, and I push my finger through her wet slit. Once my finger is well coated with her natural lubrication, I move it to her clit and rub it side to side over the tiny erect nub. Your pussy is so wet. I want to taste it. Whistlin presses her forehead to mine and tightens her grip on my upper arms.
Oh, God, that feels so good. Don't stop.
Her breathing increases, and she wraps her hand around my cock.
I want us to come together.
Oh, fuck. I open my eyes and jolt when I see the back of Whistlin's head. Because she's lying on her side, her back turned to me, breath deep and steady. Not awake with her hand around my cock. Fuck. That dream was a cruel joke. She's in the same position as last night when I pulled her against me with my arm draped over her waist and her bum pressed against my cock. I'm not sure she has moved a muscle in the last 7 hours. Fuck, my dick is hard. I can't continue to be this close to her and not act upon all the things I want to do to her. I need to shoot something. A shower. And find Whistlin awake and sitting up in bed when I leave the bathroom to choose my suit for the day. Her eyes are red and swollen. She cried last night. I didn't hear a peep from her. Good morning. Her eyes do a once-over before she looks away from my body, covered only by the towel wrapped around my waist. You can look at me if you want. I don't mind. Her only response is a shake of her head. I'm going to the shooting range. I'd like it if you came with me. Same response, which is no reply. I'm very good. Some people enjoy watching me with a gun.
Why would I want to watch you shoot a gun?
Because it would be more interesting than these four walls, and because I'm proud of my skills. I'm eager to show her what I can.
I want to see Ellison.
That's not going to happen.
I don't even know for sure that she's okay.
I swore to you on our firstborn son's life that no harm would come to her. That's not something I take lightly. I would never break that vow.
Our son. You're very comfortable throwing those two words around.
Because it's only a matter of time. You're going to give me a son. Hopefully more than one. And together, they'll one day lead this brotherhood.
So stuck on having a boy. Why a son? A daughter is just as capable of leading.
I can see what a strong woman Whistlin is. I'm not surprised that she'd call me out on this. I don't disagree, but my daughters will be precious to me in a way that differs from my sons. I would never let them be placed in harm's way.
How do you know that you'll have separate feelings about your girls? Won't you love your children equally?
I will. But I feel very differently about my sister than I do my brothers. I think the same would be true for my sons and daughters.
You're using plurals when you talk about both genders. How many kids do you want to have?
I like that we're discussing children.
I don't think we'd be doing that if she were planning to turn down my proposal.
I don't know. Several.
A couple is two, a few is three. I consider several to be four or more.
Minimum of four. Probably more, but I don't want to frighten her. Her eyes widen.
You expect me to carry and give birth to that many bairns?
Of course, and I plan on putting the first one in your belly as soon as possible.
I wouldn't have a say about that.
Weslin grew up in a brotherhood. She knows this is how we do things. It's what will be expected of us by both brotherhoods. We're obligated to quickly bind our union. You're aware of our practices.
I am, but it's so archaic. I thought that maybe you wanted something less old-fashioned.
This is our life. We are a people of tradition, and this is one of them. Marriage treaties and the babies resulting from those unions bring brotherhoods together in harmony. They establish peace when nothing else will. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to tell our children one day that the brotherhood they've grown up in and their mother's brotherhood were once at war, but our marriage and their existence brought peace to the two of them?
I've never known peace. We've been at war with the Order since before I was born. There's never been a time when I wasn't in danger. I don't want that for my children. I don't want that for anyone's children.
It's another reason that makes your marrying me the right choice. She doesn't have an argument for that. Since you haven't agreed to marry me, our prior agreement is still intact. That means you're going to the shooting range with me, and you aren't going to put up a fight about it. Get up and shower. She grasps her white silk gown.
And wear what? This?
My wife will never be looked upon by any brother while wearing something like that.
Are you going to keep calling me your wife, although we're not even engaged?
Hold up your left hand and look at your ring finger. Her lips press together in a tight line, but she does as I order. You're wearing the engagement ring I placed on your finger last night. You could have taken it off, but you didn't. We're engaged. Now get up and shower. Weslin tugs at the neckline of her gown, pulling it up to cover her cleavage. I love her chaste behavior. It actually turns me the fuck on.
Will Mrs. Bruce be back to help me dress?
No. She'll be preparing our breakfast while you get ready. I think Weslin may misunderstand Nan's role. I had her come to help you last night because it was supposed to be a special event. She only helps the Hendry women prepare for important occasions.
You didn't tell me what I'll be wearing today.
I suppose I didn't. You have new clothes hanging in the closet. I suggest that you choose something warm. There's a cold front moving in. Probably going to get snow later today.
Who bought the clothes for me?
My mother. And she was happy to do so. She's very excited about my taking a wife. Weslin touches the plunging neckline of her gown again.
Did she choose this as well?
Aye.
She picked it for a virgin who was being claimed by her mate.
I think she understands now. Aye.
It's lovely.
She chose your intimates, I chose your lingerie, and I'm eager to see her wear it.
Lingerie?
Yes, and not all of it is intended for a virgin. I like the sweet stuff, but I also like naughty. Some of the pieces I chose for Weslin are sexy as fuck. Her eyes widen.
Oh.
Would you like to meet my mum? Maybe talk to her about her experience as a treaty bride.
I would love to talk to your mother.
I'm glad to see how eager she is to meet her mother-in-law. I'll introduce you after we get back from the shooting range.
Weslin looks at the towel around my waist.
Are you finished in the bathroom?
Aye. She watches me as she slides off the side of the bed, and a smile when she dashes to the bathroom and shuts the door with a loud thud. Well, I wanted an inexperienced virgin. I got one. A very timid one.
Weslin has gone her entire life without sex. She must be horny as fuck. How could she not be?
How old are you? I call out to her through the door. Can't believe I didn't ask that when I was considering which woman I'd take for a wife.
23!
Untouched for 23 years. Better toes curl in under 30 seconds the first time I put my hands on her.
Giving Weslin her first orgasm, hearing her moan with ecstasy for the first time. It's going to be so much fun.
How old are you?
She calls out. I open the door. 28.
What are you doing?
She's already in the shower, but I've a clear view of her through the glass, despite her hands being used as a shield to hide from me. Small waist, curvy hips and thighs, full breasts spilling over the top of her hand. I am not disappointed. And I'm tempted as fuck to drop my towel and get into the shower with her. I don't want to continue speaking to you through the door.
Then you shouldn't have called out and initiated the conversation. Get out.
You don't think a man has the right to look at the woman who belongs to him?
Even if I say yes to your marriage proposal, I won't belong to you. I'm my own person.
She's delusional if she believes that misconception. That's where you're wrong, Whistlin. When you take my name and my cock, you will become mine, my property. But that also means you'll become my treasure to protect. I will place myself between you and whatever danger presents itself. No harm will ever come to you or our children. That's my vow to you.
She stares at me for a minute before dropping her hands, giving me an unobstructed view of her naked body. I'm not sure what it means, but fuck, I take advantage of what she has on display. This woman is gorgeous. Everything from the top of her head to the tips of her pink toenails is perfect. She's exactly what I would have chosen in a mate. I feel my dick begin to harden, and I don't want to go there. Not again, when I know she'll offer no relief. My cock doesn't want my hand. I'll wait for you out there.
All right.
I'm not certain because the glass is fogging up, but I think I see a smirk on her face. I'd love to kiss it off and replace it with a mouth agape, begging me to give her more. It's going to happen, Whistlin Breckenridge Henry. It's only a matter of time.
Chapter 6. Whistlin Breckenridge. A broad smile spreads across Mrs. Bruce's face when Kieran and I come into the kitchen.
Good morning, Nan.
Her face lights up when Kieran kisses her cheek. The affection I see between the two is surprising. I didn't expect you to be up so early this morning.
Tried to sleep in, but my doll wouldn't let me.
First of all, don't call me your doll. And second, I didn't do anything to keep you from sleeping.
Trust me. Even if you are unaware, you definitely did. Keep me up.
My cheeks warm and pulsate. I can't believe he said something so blatantly cheeky in front of this sweet old lady. Come to the table. Both of you need a hearty breakfast to restore your energy. I wonder exactly what it is Mrs. Bruce believes we did last night to need all of this restoration of energy. Kieran pulls out the seat left of the captain's chair at the end of the table.
You will always sit and stand to my left.
Another ridiculous, archaic tradition. Haven't you heard of gender equality? Women can sit and stand wherever they like.
You will sit to my left. You will stand to my left. You will sleep to my left. Unless we are in a bed where the door is to the left, in that case, you will sleep to my right. It's imperative that you are always positioned where I can best defend you if we are attacked. Because I'm right-handed, not because I'm trying to suppress your gender.
How was I to know that he wasn't trying to define my gender role by placing me to his left? Well, you should have just said so.
I didn't think I had to. Didn't your father have your mother stand to his non-dominant side?
I can say one thing for Kieran. He will be adamant about protecting me if I become his wife. Just as a husband should be. I liked what he said while I was in the shower. Not the part about my being his property. I liked him saying that I would be his treasure to protect, and that he would place himself between me and whatever danger was presented, and that no harm would ever come to me or our children. His drive to keep me safe is sexy. Very sexy. I didn't see that protective nature in my father, and it's shameful to admit. My father wasn't concerned with protecting anyone but himself. He was a real jackass.
I never met your father, but I've heard many things about him.
I'm sure that nothing he heard was good. You didn't miss out on anything except evil incarnate.
He was killed by Sinclair, his own nephew. That tells me a lot about Abram.
My cousin didn't have a choice. My father told Sin that he was going to kill his twin sons and then join the Order to lead the fight against the Fellowship. I've never told anyone about my father's heinous threats to murder those innocent babies. He brought so much shame upon our family.
Your father should have been killed, probably sooner than he was.
He was evil, and I fully understand that. But I could never bring myself to hate him, because he never mistreated me. I think he loved me the only way he knew how.
What about your mother? I'm curious to know what kind of woman marries a man like Abram Breckenridge.
A power-hungry one.
She should have married Thane if it was power she wanted.
It was mortifying to have the overbearing parents who walked round acting as though they should be the ones leading the Brotherhood. Completely disrespectful. Thane was too kind to my father. It took a lot of work and patience on his part to keep Dad at bay, but he did it because he loved his brother.
I'm sure Thane has taken responsibility for your mum.
Yes, but not because he wanted to. He felt it was his duty. But that doesn't mean he or Isabel are going to tolerate her shite. Believe me when I say that she pushes them to their limits, just as my dad did.
Isabel told me you are being saved for someone.
My father wanted me to marry Sin. I see the same puzzled look on Kieran's face that I've seen on everyone else's when they hear what my father was planning.
Your relation is too close for marriage.
Technically, no. My father was adopted, so we aren't genetically tied. But that never mattered to either of us. Sin and I are cousins. We were raised together. I could never think of him in any other way, blood relation or not.
I guess if Abram couldn't be the leader of the Fellowship, marrying you to Sinclair was his next best option. But why you and not your sister? She's older.
He never said why. But I think it's because he saw me as a better puppet. Ivana has been too selfish and spoiled to concern herself with Fellowship business. She wouldn't have carried out his instructions because she'd have been too busy shopping or having her nails done. My sister has been high maintenance in the past, but I've seen a change in her since she fell in love with Craig. He doesn't have the money or status to maintain the luxurious lifestyle she's been accustomed to, but she doesn't care, which makes me so proud of her.
Further evidence that you are the one I want.
No man has ever spoken to me the way Kieran does, telling me that I'm beautiful and that he wants me and that I'm going to be his. Feeling desired and wanted, it's intoxicating, even if it is coming from this brute. It's a nice change from being ignored by Fellowship men. Kieran looks at my plate.
You need to replenish your strength so Nan doesn't figure out that we didn't fuck all night.
Blue says that Sin's mouth is filthy when they're behind closed doors. Ellison says the same about Jamie. But this crude language coming from a man is new to me. And after I ate all of those oysters to get my womanly juices flowing, I close my eyes and regret the words the moment they leave my mouth. Kieran chuckles.
That was me who got your womanly juices flowing, doll, not the oysters.
I should have known that you'd be crass and bring that up.
Wasn't me who brought up your womanly juices.
Damn it. He's got me there. I walked right into that one because my tongue got ahead of my brain. I should change the subject to something else he'd be interested in discussing. I hold up my hand and spread my fingers. This really is a gorgeous ring.
Gorgeous ring for a gorgeous girl.
I knew that would change the direction of our conversation. No one would ever look at my hand and wonder if I'm taken.
A definite warning sign for other men to fuck off.
He reaches for my hand and looks at the ring. I think he really likes seeing it on me.
I will end any man who doesn't heed this warning.
I think he means that. We finish breakfast, and Kieran leads me across the property to another building.
This is my private indoor range. I'm the only person who shoots here. I thought you might prefer it over outdoor shooting since it's so cold today.
I appreciate that. I'd probably make you miss your target because my teeth would be chattering so hard.
I never miss my target. My accuracy is spot on.
I haven't practiced lately. My accuracy is not spot on.
You shoot.
That caught his attention. I nod.
I do, but I'm not the best. It isn't possible for you to be the best because I'm the best.
Kieran isn't all serious all the time. I like this lighter side of him.
Cocky much?
He chuckles.
I'm very cocky when it comes to shooting a gun.
I think you're cocky about more than shooting.
Won't argue with you.
I follow Kieran to a bay, and he crosses one arm over his midsection. He pulls a handgun from a holster and then repeats the action on the opposite side. I did not see that coming.
I had no idea you had those guns on you. I always have guns on me, always, unless I'm naked. But even then they aren't far from my reach.
He uses his finger to beckon me. I go to him, and he places a pair of safety glasses on my face.
Stand here. Show me your stance.
I move into the position Blue taught me. Arms fully extended, shoulders relaxed, feet hip-width apart, knees slightly bent, upper body leaning forward ever so slightly, weight balanced, tight grip on my invisible handgun.
Very nice, doll. Did Abram teach you?
No, Sin's wife, Blue.
Ah, Blue Breckenridge, the former FBI agent who fell in love with and married her target's son, the leader of the Fellowship. Only married a year and already breeding the next generation of leaders. Two sons and a daughter. That's impressive.
They took in an orphaned baby girl while Blue was pregnant with the twins.
I'm not a bit shocked that Blue refused to give her up, even though she already had two sons of her own on the way.
Three babies. It's like having triplets. Bairns moving in three different directions at once. I don't know how she does it. I also don't know how she could want more, but she does. Their story is an unlikely romance.
As unlikely as the captive, who falls in love with her captor, or the wife in the arranged marriage who falls in love with her husband.
I could never fall in love with him. The leader of the Order, the man who kidnapped me, the man who threatened to do whatever he wanted with my body against my will. But I can't let him know that. I suppose stranger things have happened. Kieran holds up one of his handguns.
What kind of gun did you shoot when you were taught?
Beretta. Blue's gun of choice.
Both of these are heavier and more powerful, but this one will feel more like a Beretta in your hands.
I take Kieran's gun and wrap my hand around it the way Blue taught me. Definitely heavier.
The recoil is going to be stronger than a Beretta, so you must grip it tightly.
I lift my arms and relax my shoulders. I have a tight grip.
Set your sights on your target. Visually align it.
I nod.
Stop nodding. You'll lose your alignment.
I'm getting tired of being bossed around by this man.
Stop annoying me. Your smart mouth is going to get you into a heap of trouble with me. Keep on and you might find yourself across my lap getting spanked.
I should keep my mouth shut and not provoke him, but doing so does something to me. I can't resist poking this bear. That's amusing. Maybe you can be a comedian if this order thing doesn't work out for you.
I'd spank you right now if you weren't holding my gun.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I'd like it far more than you know.
I bet he would. He's probably into all kinds of kinky and sadistic things. He looks like the type. And I bet the foolish women of the Syndicate and the Order would let him do whatever he likes.
Are you ready for your ear protection?
Please? Maybe then I won't have to listen to you yammer on.
Your arse is going to make the acquaintance of my palm tonight.
I'm looking ahead, so I can't see his expression, but I slightly panic until I hear the light chuckle that follows. Playful Kieran. He's much more pleasant than vile Kieran. You don't scare me. He leans close so his mouth hovers over my ear.
I'm going to make you regret saying that later tonight.
I take my eyes off the target and turn to look at him over my shoulder. Careful. I haven't made my decision about the proposal yet.
We both know you have.
He lifts the protective earmuffs and stretches them over my head.
This is an extended magazine. You have 22 rounds.
Got it. He lowers the earmuffs over my ears, and I resume my stance, visually aligning the center of the paper target. I fire the first shot, completely unprepared for the rearward force that pushes me off balance, forcing my back to collide with Kieran's front. He removes my earmuffs, and I hear him laughing.
I warned you, doll.
Shite, that is powerful.
You're a wee one, so that's a lot of kickback for your small upper body to handle. Does the power frighten you?
It does a little bit, but I'll never let him know. I can't ever let him see me cower. No?
Want to fire it again?
Yes. Kieran places one hand on my lower abdomen and the other on my upper back, pushing me into position. His hand on my stomach makes all of those exciting tingles I had last night return. Damn it. I hate this man. That shouldn't be happening.
You need to balance your body in a more forward position for this weapon.
I shift, and he uses his hands to adjust my body.
Still not quite right.
He moves behind me, wrapping his arms around my body and putting his hands on top of mine. His front presses against my back, forcing my body into the firing position. I feel his breath against my ear before I hear his voice.
You're perfect.
His mouth grazes my earlobe, and chills erupt down my body.
Don't move.
He replaces the protective gear over my ears, and I hesitate a moment before firing over and over until the magazine is empty. Incredible! The force behind this weapon is electrifying. Makes me feel powerful, brave, invincible. I place the gun on the table inside the bay and remove my earmuffs.
That gun does not play.
He takes the earmuffs from me and tosses them next to the gun. He advances, and I retreat until my back is pressed against the wall of the bay, trapped.
Watching you fire off those rounds. It was hot.
Men will use any excuse for being horny.
All I did was shoot a gun.
He shakes his head.
It was so much more than just firing a weapon.
I hear the sincerity in his voice, see it in his eyes. What does that mean? And why does it seem to be so important to him?
You handled my gun with confidence. You fired it with skill, no fear, no hesitation.
His hands cup the bottom of my face. He leans in, pressing a soft kiss to my mouth.
It pleases me greatly to see those qualities in my wife.
I don't know if it's his hands touching my face, or his lips against mine, or hearing him call me his wife. But something makes those damn tingles in my pelvis return. The same ones that made me wet last night. Thank fuck I'm wearing pants. Kieran Hendry makes me feel like a woman. A desired woman. His words, the way he looks at me, his body language. Everything he does is a huge turn-on. Yet I hate this man. Loathe him. But damn. He has a way of touching me that makes me forget every logical thought in my head. It doesn't make sense to me how I can despise him and at the same time respond so strongly to his touch. It's my body reacting to him, not my head. It must be hormones and sex drive. Those two things combined have the power to make people do things they wouldn't normally do.
You're trembling.
He grazes the back of his fingers down my cheek, and my stomach does some kind of flip.
Do I frighten you?
I look away, because I can't tell him that it isn't fear giving me the trembles. He grasps my chin and forces me to look at him.
Do I frighten you?
No.
He rubs my bottom lip with his thumb. Then what is it?
I shake my head. He leans in for another kiss but stops before his lips touch mine. We're so close I can feel his breath on my mouth, just like last night when my body turned to mush. I'm quivering, and my breath has become more rapid. I may even be a little lightheaded. His bottom lip grazes mine, but he still doesn't kiss me.
I'll back off right now if it's what you want.
I don't want him to back off. I also don't want him to know that I don't want him to back off. Feels too much like giving in to something I'm not supposed to crave. I'm going to kiss you. I'm his captive. We made an agreement. I must submit without a fight per our deal to maintain Ellison's safety. Yeah, keep telling yourself that, Wes. Maybe if you say it enough, you'll start to believe it. His fingers lace through my hair, and he holds me prisoner when he lowers his mouth to mine. I open, giving his tongue an invitation to come inside. The two meet, and together they become erotic dance partners with Kieran taking the lead. I've only had one very forgettable kiss in my life. But this kiss, I could live a million years and never forget it or the way I feel right now. He stops, his lips hovering over mine, his breath warm against my skin. More or stop? Your decision. He's asking me to venture further with him. My body says yes, but my head tells me that one more step will take me to a place I shouldn't go with this man. I'm 23 and being kissed for the second time in my life. I don't want this to stop. More. His mouth drags across my jaw, leaving kisses in its path. It travels down the side of my neck, and I tilt my head, offering him full access, submitting. I close my eyes and debate what the hell I'm doing. Kieran asked for my permission, not my submission. I said yes when I didn't have to. He pushes his hand under my sweater and grips my lower back, pulling me against him. More? He doesn't have to have permission to do any of this to me. I'm his captive to do with as he wishes, and no one will stop him. Yet he's asking for my consent. Yes. He pins me against the wall with his hips. I'm trapped with no escape. I should be panicking. But I'm not. I have no idea what I'm doing. I only know that I like what's happening between us more than I should. His mouth migrates as low as it can until the neck of my sweater won't allow him to go any lower. And despite my lack of experience at making out, I know what's coming next. This man isn't going to let a sweater get in his way. My chest heaves up and down, my breathing loud. I'm shocked by the sudden and unexpected urgency I feel for Kieran. I ignore the warnings I hear inside my head telling me to stop. His hand is moving to my breasts, just as I anticipated, but I still jolt when his thumb rubs my nipple through the fabric of my bra. I can't wait to have you under me. I'm going to make you come so hard, over and over and over. My light gasp makes him chuckle. You're going to love all the things I make your body feel. The touching, the kissing, the promises, all of it pools like pure liquid seduction between my legs, my body's invitation for Kieran to keep going. You want that, don't you? To feel passion and ecstasy and pleasure. Fuck yes, I want that. I jolt when I hear someone clearing his voice, but Kieran simply removes his hand from my sweater and backs away. He inhales deeply and exhales slowly. Go the fuck away, now, if you don't want to die. His jaw is clenched, and there's a touch of growl to his voice. My apologies, Mr. Hendry. Your father sent me to get you. Kieran stands tall and adjusts his tie. Where is my father? Waiting for you in the car, sir. I think this means they're leaving the compound. Something must be happening. Maybe they're going to meet with the Fellowship Council again. Maybe I'm about to leave this place. Kieran cradles my face and kisses my forehead, just as I've seen Sin do with Blue 1,000 times. It feels very affectionate. I like it.
Escort Miss Breckenridge back to my quarters.
This Kieran is not the Kieran I met last night. This one is showing me respect. This one is working for my affection. This one is trying to win my heart. But after last night, it may be too little, too late.
Chapter 7. Kieran Hendry. Worst timing ever. I was making progress with Westland. She's bending. Every minute we spend together, I can feel it happening more and more. She's going to say yes soon. I'm very happy about where she and I are, but I'm concerned about what's going on. Something must have gone sideways. My father would never pull me away from Westland at this pivotal moment for no good reason. I get into the car, and my father gives Niall the signal to drive.
I'm sorry to interrupt your time with Westland, but we have a problem.
I assume it's the kind of problem that only I can solve.
Aye. We've had a wrench thrown into our plan. His name is William Walker, and he's currently gathering supporters to start a revolt. He's trying to convince brothers to overthrow us before we can carry out the marriage treaty exchange.
This I take fucking personally. It directly affects my mate and me. This isn't a forgivable offense to commit against your leaders. The brothers of the Order don't know us. They don't understand our ways. But they're going to. And it's going to be a lesson well learned. Not one of them will question why we are called the Sleeping Giants when I'm finished ridding us of this wrench. I reach for the hard case containing my M24 and pop the latches. I take out the rifle and begin the drill of preparing my weapon for my next assassination. Where are we going?
Walker and four others are meeting in one of our warehouses right now.
Good. They'll be wide open, with limited options for cover. Am I killing all of them? I place 5 rounds in the magazine. 1 bullet for each man committing treason against us. No extras needed. I never miss.
Leave one alive. A witness who can tell everyone what happens when you commit treason against a Hendry.
Yes, sir. This rifle and I have been a pair for 13 years. We've taken down many fierce brothers and many cowards together. Does it matter which one survives?
No. Just as long as it's not Walker. He dies first.
I finish the drill and place my M24 on my lap.
Have you had Westland yet?
No, but I think we're moving in that direction. I was in the middle of making progress when your man came to get me.
I didn't want to interrupt what little time you have with her, but I had no choice. We have to act now.
I understand, and I agree.
You can't let Westland leave the compound without bedding her.
I know, and I'm working to gain her consent. I don't want to do it by force. I hope it doesn't come to that. I don't know Westland well, but I'm certain that she'd hate me forever if I claimed her by force.
Consensual is best, but I can't stress to you how important it is that you bind your union as quickly as possible.
I'm aware.
Care for a bit of advice from your old man?
Aye.
You're 28 years old and in a position of power. I'm certain you've had plenty of women by now and need no advice on the act itself. But this time will be different from any other time you've been with a woman. None of the ones before now have been your virginal wife. You're claiming a woman for the first time, but you're also trying to get her pregnant. This won't be like any experience you've ever had.
I've never had a virgin, never been inside a woman bare, or came inside one either. I knew from an early age never to have unprotected sex, even if I thought I felt some kind of affection for my lover. Not that I've ever had anything more than a hard-on for any woman.
There's nothing else in the world like it.
I'm hoping that will happen tonight. She was giving me all the right signals before we were interrupted.
She's going to be nervous. You should share a few glasses of whiskey together to calm her nerves. Once she loosens up, begin slowly and pleasure her until she orgasms. This will make her body less tense when you take her. Be gentle. And use this first time to focus on pleasuring her instead of yourself. If you make it good for her, she'll be eager to do it again.
I know how to make a woman come, but I've never been overly concerned with making it happen. I've been more interested in receiving pleasure than giving it. But sex with Westland will be focused on what her body needs for satisfaction. In a way, this will be a first for me, too.
Find out where she is in her cycle. It's been around 2 weeks since the start of her last period. The timing could be right for you to conceive. Go as deep as she'll let you, and for good measure, keep her in bed for a while.